Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck High Rocks is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Belisai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Belisai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Belisai wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like I should have been up and not ranking my rookie year. The media don't see it that way, but the players, they respect it. They come up to me after every game. They tell me what it is. Like, the players and the coaches respect what I'm doing. It's only so much I could do. Man, I feel like I've been that guy for a minute. Like, even my year two, I feel like I snapped my year two. Even though it wasn't my best performance my whole season, because I had so many penalties that year. That's what people really harp on my game about. Is the PIs and the penalties. Y'all hold no other DB under that microscope or grade them under just that. I haven't gave up a touchdown in 3 years. Not one. No wide receiver put over 50, 60 yards on my head, and I travel with the best of them, and they want to talk about penalties. And it's like, you can have that debate, but it gets to a certain point. Like, even to bring up penalties now, this year, I had 5. Equaled out to like 50-some yards. Like, you saying I'm not top 5 because I had 50 yards and penalties? Like, that's crazy. Yeah, that's top crazy. DBs have more than that. Doubled that. So it's like, y'all want to have that debate with me, but not everybody else. So that's why I don't really think I had that.
I do think Joey Porter Jr. is right about that double standard. This was the first time, I think it was on Mike Tomlin's son's podcast, Dino Tomlin, who's made some waves on social media, has gone at people. Shockingly, not me. I've been spared. I'm not on his radar yet, or I am on his radar, and as the kids say, he just doesn't want this smoke, maybe. That could be it.
Do you realistically think the phrase, so-and-so doesn't want that Andrew Filippone smoke, ever been uttered?
On social media? You know I have nuclear options, as Starkey would like to say.
Yeah, but you're and like
I'm not
kind of
I'm not afraid to pull them out from time to time. I almost used one on Vince Williams the other day.
You're a tactical nuclear device user on there. You really only punch laterally. You never punch down. Cody Duncan was punching down, but man, he deserved it. He liked getting punched. But yeah, you're right. Are you worried that Dino would end up in the DMs doing the Bud Dupree routine to you?
No, I'm just surprised it hasn't. I'm not worried about it. I'm just a little bit surprised that it's never happened.
Disappointed to some extent?
Maybe, because I think he's done it to other people.
You want to be in that club?
No, I probably don't, actually, because I think it got really, really personal with some other people and really, really nasty, and threats and stuff got made, and I really don't need that in my life right now.
Did you see Dino's father is starting a dog shelter in the area, like a $3 million dog shelter?
Congratulations.
Yeah, big initiative.
On Mike Tomlin's success there.
Yeah.
A couple things on that, and then we'll get into the real juicy thing on Joey Porter Jr. today.
Yes.
He is right about the penalties. So he had 50 penalty yards last year. Patrick Surtain II, Derek Stingley Jr., Quinion Mitchell, and Trent McDuffie all had more penalty yards than Joey Porter Jr. In 2024, he led the NFL in penalty yards by a corner. He cut them way down last year. So it was a huge problem and a legitimate gripe and a gigantic weakness in his game 2 years ago. He largely erased it and took it out of his game last year, which is what you want to see in a player. A young player, there was something that was a hole. It was something that I think refs were conscious of and teams looked to exploit. And it largely went away last season. So he was able to still, the point is, he was still able to be a shutdown corner and be an effective guy without being the handsy, grabby guy that he had a reputation for being going all the way back to Penn State, Chris.
He cut those down, and that's to his enormous credit. I thought he got something wrong in there, though, unless I'm mistaken here. He said he traveled with the best. No,
he did not. And the other thing he got wrong was he said, the players respect what I'm doing. They really don't. You're not top 100 in their eyes. They put Jalen Ramsey in the top 100. They didn't put Joey Porter Jr.
I think Joey.
There's about 8 or 9 corners that are on the list. He's not one of them.
Joey Porter Jr. probably does the hardest thing to do as a cornerback really well. But the problem is there's other stuff involved there. He covers very good receivers. Sometimes the other team's won. Sometimes a guy like T. Higgins instead.
Yep.
Where he had like 50 yards of penalties in that game against T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
He covers those guys man-to-man very well. Unfortunately, corners are sometimes asked to tackle, even once in a while to blitz, to play in zone, to pass people off. He does the mano a mano thing very well. That is one part of being a corner.
So here is the here's the hot rumor on who wants Joey Porter Jr. Because all the Steelers insiders have said, this is so interesting to me, the propagandists, okay? This is so, so interesting to me.
You love how that propaganda
sausage
gets made.
I sure do, and let me tell you what I mean by that, okay? They say, or not they, let me start over. Ian Rappaport says, or maybe it was Mike Garofolo, one of the two.
You are cooking right now.
I really am.
Here we go.
NFL Network's insiders say, no offer's been made. Here come the Steelers insiders.
Well, that's actually not the way contracts are done. They exchange numbers, but just because no formal offer's been put out there doesn't mean that they're not talking to each other.
And they talk down and they condescend and they do all that stuff.
Now, which Steelers insider are you parroting specifically there?
Okay, so,
I understand.
Do you agree that that happens?
Yes.
But then, I'm getting angry because this pisses me off that people that cover football act like fans are idiots. And it bothers me. It honestly does. But then, and I want Donnie to make eye contact with me because I know he knows I'm right about this. Then, though, they will act like nobody's made a trade offer on Joey Porter Jr. No one's even inquired. And they take that as complete gospel. Oh, no. Heaven forbid someone send an email or a text to Omar. That doesn't count. It has to be a formal offer that has to be ratified by Roger freaking Goodell for that to count as a trade. It is just the amount of water carrying that goes on for this football team in the way that it's covered sometimes drives me crazy. It does. And you know it happens all the time. And so occasionally I'm going to get up on my, it's not even a high horse, it's a donkey. I'm going to get on that thing and ride it and point out to people, don't always listen when these reporters talk down to us. It happens. There.
Well, don't, you also have to keep in mind one of my other favorite wrinkles of this. No matter how this goes, whether they sign Porter to a big extension or they don't do it and they eventually trade him or let him walk, whatever they do, it'll be the right move by the Steelers.
Oh, the 180s will happen. No doubt. 100%. You know what? Now we're really getting off on a tangent, but this is fun. Sorry, Chris. Indulge me. Trading George Pickens is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Why would you trade him after the draft? You can't backfill. You can't find a guy in the draft now to take his spot. They trade George Pickens. This was the right move. There's no way they could have allowed that guy in their locker room again this year. He would have spoiled and ruined the entire thing. You're right. All they do is wherever the wind is blowing. That's exactly right, Donnie. So guess what? If Joey Porter Jr. gets traded, these insiders are going to go from saying they can't trade Joey Porter. That makes no sense. Well, wow, what a great deal. I mean, when you get down to it, he wanted $34 million a year. There's no way they could afford to do that. This was Omar Khan, the con artist, was back. He cooked on this one. He really did. Omar's coming. Let's get the Wire music going again here. Let's pull that scene out on Twitter. Let's get the guy from Star Trek or Star Wars or Star whatever, Spaceballs. Let's get him screaming con. And let's put that all over our social media. There.
I feel like this was like a 10-minute.
And some of these people are related to Steelers employees. That's the other thing that people don't know about. That's a little secret that I found out about the other day. But anyways, keep going. You were going to say something?
No, not really. You just, you know, it's the old, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And I want to stop you, but you're on a roll here.
Yeah.
This happened, too, like with Aaron Rodgers. It was don't sign another retread until you get Aaron Rodgers back or until you get Aaron Rodgers, then it's a good thing. It's time to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Actually, it's not. This is a good thing that he's back. Pony, I think you are loudly and humorously beating a drum with different voice effects that I have been beating for years, which is that like, and this isn't unique to the Steelers, team employees, team-centric media, you are trading any pretense of objectivity once you sign on under that banner. Like, it's so bad that we actually know that when Bob Labriola writes something critical about a Steelers player, you can pretty much punch that guy's ticket out of town.
Yeah.
Because that means the edict has come down from Art the Second to get that out there.
And that article was hard to type because he was wearing his knockoff Steelers Super Bowl rings.
Just clanking into that keyboard over and over
writing
again.
Writing that, yeah.
No, you're right about this. I mean, you're completely correct in how this gets covered and the fact that I think what I don't like, and I don't think this applies to the three of us, we're born cynics, especially me, but I do not like that the average fan who reads Steelers content like that comes from inside the house, so to speak, is treated, as you're saying, like they should just lap up whatever is put out by Steelers media.
Like, I only bring this
as
up
gospel truth.
I only bring this up not to disparage.
And the 180, to put a finer point on it, I want to say this. Donnie, the 180 stuff, the it's bad until it's done and then it's good, is probably the most galling. I think the Pickens thing is actually the all-time example
of this. I'm not going to disparage or denigrate Mark when I say this, but Kabali, you know, comes in and tells us on Friday, well, all these mental mistakes that Joey Porter Jr. makes, they're really concerned about that. He's getting that from the team, obviously. Then let's say they sign him, you know, 2 days before the season
mental
starts.
Mental mistakes were Schmental mistakes. Come on, who needs
that? Was the other
those
coaching
minor
staff.
Those
don't matter.
They know he can handle it.
Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin didn't know what the hell they were doing.
He survived the crucible of playing for Mike Tomlin. Right. He'll be fine with Patrick Graham.
So I'm not going to pretend to be an insider. I'm just going to say that in talking to someone who used to work for the Steelers, this person's opinion was the team that makes the most sense for Joey Porter Jr. is the Dolphins. The Steelers have made trades with the Dolphins before. The Dolphins do not have a lot of good players. They need more good young players. And this is the trade that this person gave me. It's a complete hypothetical. And I want to know if you two guys would make this trade, because this was this person's opinion on Miami and why this is a good fit. He said, if they like Malik Willis, what they'll do this year is they'll keep Malik Willis and they'll use whatever great first-round pick they get, and they'll be the team that takes Jeremiah Smith, right?
Yeah.
Because the other teams at the top will take quarterbacks. If they don't need one and they like Willis, they'll take Jeremiah Smith. They'll take the best wide receiver in college football for
the
last 3 years, okay?
They'll take the best player in the draft.
So that would make a wide receiver on their team, in theory, disposable. So this is what he said. He said, would you do this trade? A second-round pick and Malik Washington, who has...
interesting player.
Has Tyreek Hill traits. I'm not saying he's ever going to be that.
An interesting player.
But he was great at Virginia. He was the best wide receiver in the ACC a couple years ago. He is a dynamic player. You would take him, and he would be your slot guy to go with Pittman and DK Metcalf. And anything you got then from Bernard or Roman Wilson would be a complete bonus, would just be the cherry on top. Malik Washington and a second round pick for Porter. And the second round pick is interesting because, Donnie, that might be the 33rd pick in the draft, right? I mean, isn't that...
there's a chance there. That
I mean, that's
bad.
Probably a possibility.
Yeah.
It's the best
pick of
the second round.
I think they're going to be like one of the three worst teams in football.
Well, the weird thing there would be if Willis is actually pretty good, they're probably going to sneak around their way to a couple more wins than we think.
So I'm just...
to be fair.
He said, this is a team that I think would be interested, and this is the type of offer they would probably make. Now, we're hearing things like all the Steelers would take are two firsts for Joey Porter Jr. But again, if they end up settling for something like this, we'll be told that Joey Porter Jr. asked for way too much money, it was never going to work, and oh, by the way, he's not a fit for this defense at all anyways, is how that'll get spun.
He really does not like to play in zones, and they're going to play a lot more zone.
412-928-9370. You can text us on that number. Edgar Snyder Associates, fan text line, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have the Pirates going for a sweep of the Padres today on our airwaves, beginning with the leadoff show at 3:15. Mike Florio going to join later this hour. First, a Donnie headline.
Pirates 1, Padres 0 last night. Paul Skene, 6 scoreless, 4 strikeouts. He did not walk anybody, just scattered three hits. O'Neal Cruz, the hero, his 17th home run of the season, and he hit it off Mason Miller, the first home run Miller has allowed in over a calendar year. Pirates go for the sweep today against the Friars, first pitch at 4:10. Bubba Chandler gets the ball, 3:15. The North Shore Tavern leadoff show right here on The Fan with Paul Alexander. Headlines powered by Bowser Chevy. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Tony.
Talk about Mike's Beer Bar. Mike's has been, I think, the best bar, the best sports bar in Pittsburgh now for a number of years. It's right next to PNC Park. You're looking to do a fantasy football draft. You're looking to get guys together to watch the game against Buffalo. You don't want to go sit in a car with Joe Starkey for 3.5 hours and have him sing folksy songs from the 1970s the entire time and go the speed limit. Go to Mike's Beer Bar. Watch it there. 80 rotating taps, the best local craft beers. All the pumpkin beers are out right now, too, if you're into that. So meet me at Mike's Beer Bar. Malzie.
Thank you, Pony. I want to tell you about Crown Mitsubishi in Washington, everybody listening right now, especially if you're listening and you're thinking about getting a great deal, the best deal, you want to get one on a brand new SUV, an all-wheel drive SUV. Have I got the people for you? Mike Engel, the bow tie guy himself, and Bill Driscoll, the general manager at Crown Mitsubishi in Washington. They know how to treat people right. They know that a great car buying experience starts first and foremost with the best possible deal. They have the chance to give you that right now because they're clearing out their final summer inventory. Last chance for the crazy good all-wheel drive deals that you deserve. Select 7-passenger Outlanders you can finance at 0% for 72 months or take up to $7,500 off. Eclipse Crosses right now are up to $5,000 off or get 2.99% financing for 60 months. They've also got Outlander Sports up to $4,000 off on those. And it gets even better. You can get up to 125% of Kelley Blue Book value for a last-minute trade-in. The bowtie guy himself, Mike Engel, he is tying up summer. Take advantage of the deals. Grab summer's final drive at Crown Mitsubishi in Washington and online, crownmitsubishipa.com.
Cha-ching! That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, a healthier run game would have helped them. I think some more runaway routes, you know, on first and second down versus the man would have helped. You know, once again, there's some play selection based off of, you know, where we are as far as repping our young guys, who's in the game, routes, you know, certain guys ran. So that goes both ways. But I think the fact that he was trusting his feet, trusting his time clock, you know, was sliding through the A and B gaps, those are all quality reps that, you know, he can learn from. So, yeah, he didn't have a lot of, you know, runaway type plays and, you know, a lot of separation and so forth. You know, the penalties, when I think of this second half, the penalties, the first and 20s were, you know, a pretty big factor in the things that, you know, we tried to get done with that group.
Listen to the PM Team On Demand, Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at 223. Step up to the plate and call Buell, 724-443-5610, Buell Insurance. Speaking of stepping up to the plate, O'Neal Cruz did that last night in San Diego off Mason Miller, of all people, friend of the show. And we'll have Pirates and Padres as the Buccos go for a sweep. 3:15 leadoff show time with Paul Alexander. And then Bubba Chandler takes the mound at 4:10. Mike McCarthy on Drew Aller making some excuses or giving some reasons why Aller's numbers weren't better in preseason game number 2. All the hullabaloo right now is about what is going to happen with Drew Aller tomorrow night. I think he should start. Ben Roethlisberger thinks he should start. I think just about every Steelers fan would like to see Drew Aller out there against better competition and with a better supporting cast of teammates. This would be your last chance to do that this season. Do it in front of me. Do it in front of Joe Starkey. Do it in front of the random fan listener who thinks he won something, but actually this might be
a grave defeat.
Yes.
Hey, I want to go to the Steelers game. It's like the old bit about the monkey's paw. You ask, you know, I want to go to the Steelers game in Buffalo, monkey's paw. It curls, and you end up there with Joe Starkey. Screaming songs, as you said, from the 70s. Soft rock hits
and
that don't even qualify
talk,
for yacht rock.
And all this talk, Donnie, about this skin-tight Doran Dickerson Bills jersey that he plans on wearing all day tomorrow.
Is it going to be hot in Buffalo? What are we looking at?
He keeps talking
early
about...
70s.
Early
kickoff.
Low 70s.
Low 70s, yeah.
If he keeps pretty talking about it, it's going to cause an infertility crisis.
Well, he better like long-distance runners do. He better put some tape over
some
his nipples.
Chafe?
Yeah, he doesn't want chafing to go on there.
You know what he's going to do, too? Here, I'm going to stand up and like do this for the YouTube crowd. You know how he does the turkey neck, right? He's going to put the skin-tight jersey on, and then he's going to go like this. Don't I look good, Pony? He's going to show everybody the back of it. Like, it's going to say Dickerson, and he's going to be flexing.
I want this guy, whose name is Andy.
Andy, God bless you,
buddy. I want him, when he meets Joe tomorrow morning in the parking lot, to do a fake cough or a fake sneeze and then try to shake Joe's hand and have that be the introduction that starts this day off.
Do you
want
to know what's very funny about that plan? It's funny in and of itself that you came up with that. Even if he did a fake, like I'm doing it, like, chew, and he actually breathed into his own hand, but that was all it was. That would be enough for Joe to be like, I saw you breathe on your hand. It was close to your nose. I know it was a fake. I still don't want to shake your hand. Like, you don't even have to have, you know, you don't even have to have Joe believe it. If he just sees the guy and he knows it's a fake, he won't want to shake his hand.
Yeah. So that's what I have to look forward to tomorrow. An all-day affair.
Yeah, I feel like I have...
An all-night affair, too.
I have the easiest job in the building tomorrow, I think. Just 2 hours solo show after you guys.
You have PM Team Black and Gold game night.
Yes, I do. Are you driving back with him then, right after?
Yeah, we are.
I think that's going to be the torturous part.
But I think that beats sharing a hotel room with him and the listener, don't you? Could you imagine that situation?
All right, who's coming over here? Somebody's got to double up.
He's still sleeping in the skin-tight
Dickerson jersey. Tighty whiteys.
Like, people have asked me about this trip, and their expectation is that we'll be having like a semi-serious conversation in the car about like what this guy's job is and what he does. And then like Joe will just randomly butt in. Do you like onion rings?
Yeah. Do you like corn follicles? You said the guy's name's Andy, correct?
Yeah.
I feel bad for Andy unless he's like very familiar. I guess didn't he request that it be with Joe? So he knows Joe's whole deal pretty well.
He knew that his donation was going towards this trip.
This thing.
Yeah, so he knows.
Joe's not going to
remember what he's getting into.
Joe could be introduced to Andy like 10 separate times during the trip. Andy could just go be like, hey, just so you remember, my name's Andy. He won't remember it one time. Cornelius, I hope you had a wonderful time. I did as well.
Well, Joe said he's going to go up to one of his missions at this game is to go up to the people that are sitting in the obstructed view seats.
And interview them. So that is the duality of Joe. He's such a weird dude. And yet, as like a columnist and like an instinct for what like would make a good, you know, good copy, just an interesting story, yeah. I think he's second to none, man.
I mean, I've got people texting me saying...
I think that's an excellent idea.
I've got people texting me saying they're willing to donate hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, to the Fan 5 Alarm Golf Classic if Joe is willing to jump off a car through a table on Thursday night.
For some reason, I thought, even though that's what everyone's known for up there, I thought you were saying you were getting donation offers in the thousands if Joe would just jump on the field only wearing the Dickerson jersey and run across the field.
Put his fingers up in the air, Donnie.
Fingers in the air, just gets absolutely plastered by the security guys.
All right.
Boy.
Fan Twitter, you can watch us there. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Tyler Kennedy usually joins us on Wednesdays. He'll be back soon for hockey season. He's brought to you by SaviorSettlement.com, helping injured people and their families plan for the rest of their lives. All right, Mike Florio is next. Mike is going to tell us about this Jed York situation that I can't stop thinking about. And more on the Steelers quarterback situation as well. But first, a headline.
Steelers and Bills, the preseason finale tomorrow night in Buffalo. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. Headlines powered by Bowser Chevy. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Pony.
All right, let's talk right now, Donnie. Thank you about FanDuel, the official sportsbook at 93.7 The Fan. College football Saturdays are already packed with reasons to get excited, and this season, FanDuel is giving you even more. Make this your most rewarding college football season ever with FanDuel. From the first kickoff of the day to the final whistle at night, there are more ways to get in on every matchup. Back your favorite team, build the same game parlay, bet team props, or make your picks on the biggest games of the weekend and along the way. Keep an eye on the FanDuel app for even more ways to get rewarded throughout the season, because when every Saturday brings another slate of games, FanDuel gives you more ways to make every week count. So get ready for big games, bigger Saturdays, and your most rewarding season ever only on FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/local to get started. A bunch of ACC teams play in week zero, including a matchup between NC State and Virginia. I like Virginia at home as a small favorite in that game. Remember, they made it all the way to the conference championship game last season. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Called 1-800-GAMBLER. Malzy.
Thanks, Pony. Crown, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Washington. Now, what are they doing? What do they have going on right now that you need to hear about, especially if you're in the market for a new vehicle? Well, they're clearing out their final summer inventory. Friends, that means it is your last chance right now for some absolutely crazy, bonkers good deals. Like on new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorns, how about getting into one of those with 0% financing for 60 months, or you could take up to 12 grand off MSRP. They've also got great deals on new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokees or Wranglers. Both of those legendary vehicles, legendary Jeep vehicles, available with 0% financing. And there's even no payments for 90 days available, but it doesn't stop there. You can also get up to 125% Kelley Blue Book value for a last-minute trade-in. The bow tie guy, Mr. Mike Engel, he is tying things up, so you've got to take advantage while you still can of the great deals. The Make This the Summer event still going on. Crown Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Washington online, crownjeep.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. In about 20 minutes, we're going to tell you what the NFL's website wrote about the three players the Steelers are going to trade before the start of the season. Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. We join right now a little bit early because of Pirates baseball coming up. Leadoff show at 3:15. Joined right now by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Lot to do with Mike, including this report from casino.org again, Malzy.
I knew you were going to get to it before me. I knew
Jason
Lockenfora,
casino.org is where he now calls home. Reporting here that already numerous well-placed sources close to NFL ownership groups, including teams whose current coaches are under fire, state that preliminary groundwork for a potential pursuit of NBC's Mike Tomlin is already underway in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the home of the Jets, New York Jets. And Woody Johnson already doing some legwork on Mike Tomlin.
You think they've got Brick Johnson doing any of the recon there, too?
Asking his friends on Reddit about Mike Tomlin. Mike, with this,
I looked over at the monitor and Mike just gave that, like, I'm the teacher and it's a funny joke you made, but why are you guys doing this in
Mike,
my class right now?
It's the Jets, so you never know. Would this surprise you that the Jets are already under the impression that this is going to be it for Aaron Glenn and they need to do their homework now on prospective head coaches?
There's a group of teams that fall into the category of nothing would ever surprise me. Jets, Browns, Cardinals, maybe others, but those are the three that are perpetually in that stew of dysfunctional teams that do dysfunctional things. This wouldn't surprise me at all. Look, Tomlin is going to be the belle of the ball come January. Everyone's going to want him. There will be owners who are otherwise content to keep their current coaches, who if they think they can work out a deal to hire Mike Tomlin, they'll fire their coach to hire Mike Tomlin. I firmly believe that. I've said that from the moment people started grousing about Tomlin and wanting to move on from Tomlin. He's a guy who's immediately going to have another job the moment he wants one. The question is, does he want one? And he has said himself he's not even going to know until the regular season begins. But it would be crazy to think that someone from the Jets has back-channeled Tomlin's agent to say, hey, if he decides he wants to come back, we'd like to talk to him. That wouldn't surprise me at all. That stuff happens all the time. They don't sit around and wait to fire their head coach before they start looking for a replacement. It's a land rush. And we saw what happened with John Harbaugh last year. The moment he became available and still wanted a coach, there were multiple teams that wanted him. So it would not surprise me at all. I think Aaron Glenn's buyout is the thing that saved him from getting fired after only one season, $40 million plus. And if they don't turn it around this year, then number one, it's not a stretch to see Glenn fired. And number two, why wouldn't Woody Johnson want Mike Tomlin? Why wouldn't he? And, oh, well, Mike Tomlin, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. Well, the Jets haven't won one since 2011. And Tomlin's never had a losing record. The Jets would love to go 19 years without a losing record. They'd like to go 19 months without a losing record.
Mike, I know that the losing record thing, never having one, it's there, and teams care about wins and losses. I am wondering what you think of the idea, though, that he would be so in demand because of that win-loss record, but the fact that we also know, and it's getting more traction and gets talked about more in the NFL, no coaching tree to speak of. If you are hiring him, you are presumably blowing out an entire coaching staff. I would just wonder if there's trepidation around the league about the guys he would hire and surround himself with, given that he did not, as I like to say, bathe himself in glory in that department post LeBeau and Arians and what have you in Pittsburgh.
I don't know that they necessarily would have to blow out the entire coaching staff. He inherited Dick LeBeau, for instance. Not that that part of the coaching staff was broken, but I think Tomlin's the kind of guy that will work with whoever he has to work with. And you could make the argument that the fact that Tomlin doesn't have a coaching tree to speak of speaks to how good of a coach he is. Because even without great, high-end, must-have future coaches on the roster, he still takes every team he has and at least goes 500. So I just think it's a no-brainer that Tomlin is going to be in hot demand if he chooses to return to coaching after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, at any time. And it's one thing to say, I don't want to coach again, and that may be his mindset, but no one's going to know how he's going to feel until he sees the train rolling without him. Now, he's still going to be part of it, and he's going to be in a stadium every week, so maybe that will help. But the game moves on, and he's not part of the game directly unless and until he's back in.
Do you really want to go to the Jets, for example, though? Like, he coached for the most stable franchise in probably professional sports. Like, I would imagine he'd want to be very selective if he did want to get back in, and I don't know if the Jets scream stable, well-run,
competent.
I mean, you just put him in the basically the what the Bill Simmons used to call the Tyson zone. Anything can happen at any time with the New York Jets. It just seems like that would be, in his mind, lowering himself, even if the money was insane.
Well, it would definitely be a challenge, and he may be the kind of guy who would embrace a challenge. Bill Cowher almost took that job. Remember that? The only thing that kept that from happening is the Jets weren't willing to fire Mike Tannenbaum and give Bill Cowher the ability to round up his guys to come in and help him on the front office side set the table with the players he wanted. He was taking that job, but he wasn't going to take Mike Tannenbaum, and that made it fall apart.
Mike, less than an hour away from where Chris and I sit right now, an NFL owner was arrested for trying to hook up with a prostitute. And it was around $140 with a $20 added fee for unprotected sex, reportedly. And now what? For Jed York and the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, we saw a mugshot of him in an orange jumpsuit. Robert Kraft had his own issues. I don't remember, you know, huge penalties there. It's not like the Patriots lost a first-round pick or anything like that. What's going to happen to a guy that just got busted not too far away from where we are right now?
Well, personal conduct of owners never results in punishment for the team. This is off-field, unrelated to football. It would be some sort of a suspension or a fine or both imposed on Jed York. And the difference between York and Kraft, Kraft fought the case against him and won. There was a finding that the entire operation of hidden cameras in massage rooms where people from all walks of life were coming legitimately to get a massage are naked or in different states of undress, and they're taping them in there. The whole thing got thrown out as a violation of constitutional privacy rights. So he was never convicted, never pleaded guilty, never pleaded no contest. York caved in one day. He's arrested Sunday, and by Monday he's pleaded no contest to two charges. So it's already teed up for the NFL to do something to York, and people are going to pay attention to this because in theory, they say owners are held to a higher standard than players. In practice, it seems like when it's apples to apples, the owners get treated more leniently than players do. So it's ready, and they're meeting today in Atlanta to vote on the sale of the Seahawks. So there will be plenty of discussions, official or unofficial, and I suspect, especially with the 49ers going to Australia in 15 days to play the Rams to start the season, I suspect the league's going to move quickly and impose some sort of punishment on Jed York.
Admittedly, this is a flippant question, but I'm also like half serious about it. When Michael Vick was busted with the whole Ron Mexico thing, you could not go to NFL shop and get a Mexico 7 Falcons jersey. Jed York reportedly used the alias Joe. Very clever. Do you think the NFL will put any restrictions on things? I'm serious, like Niners merch that just says Joe, and it's, I'm just going to use the funny number, 69 or something like that, where you won't be able to buy that off the NFL shop. Yeah, I know. I mean, seriously, are they going to like restrict anything that Niners fans might want to do for a laugh at their owner's
expense? How about their opposing
fans? Or right, Seahawks fans, Rams fans, Cardinals fans.
I remember at some point going to NFL shop and trying all the different names to see what was and wasn't restricted. But you're right, you couldn't buy a Mexico jersey. And there were other names that guys who have
you couldn't get a Ray Caruth Panthers jersey, for example.
Right.
You couldn't get an O.J. Simpson jersey.
There was like a, there was like a blacklist of names that you just could not do.
Joe may be on the no-fly list. We'll see.
I will
to go try that, NFLshop.com.
Mike, I'm going to be...
Get myself a 49ers Joe jersey to wear on football night in America.
Mike, I'm going to be in Buffalo tomorrow for the game. I'm curious about this Bills season ticket holder thing. They've got obstructed view seats. It doesn't look like it was told to these fans in advance, like, hey, here are your season tickets. Give us your personal seat license money. Oh, and then when you show up the first day, you can't see, you know, half the field. What's their litigation? What's their ability now to fire back at a team? Exactly. You didn't tell us that our seats sucked. We paid for them, and now they're not what we thought we were getting.
And the architect has come out and said this wasn't an accident. This was part of the design. They want the fans to be as close as possible to the field. They knew there were going to be obstructions because of the laws that require safety measures so people don't fall off of staircases and land on the people one level below. And it all comes down to what they were shown when they committed to the PSLs and what they got when they showed up. And there's around 500 complaints that were made. So it's either 500 people who are just completely wrong about comparing the virtual view to the actual view, or they do have a problem. There was a bait and switch, and they got to fix it with these people. And I think the easiest solution is give them a full refund and resell the seats to people who know this is what we're getting. Because even the worst seat that we saw, somebody found the worst seat where you couldn't see one end zone. And they say they're not going to sell that for football. That's only for concerts where the stage is at the end of the stadium you can see. Mm-hmm. Someone would pay for that to be in the building if it's sold out.
The worst
seat in the house is better than the best seat out of the house. There's a Bills fan that would pay for it, but they need to know about it when they commit to paying for it.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, Mike Tomlin's teammate at NBC, Seahawks and Patriots.
For now.
Yeah, not too far away. See you, Mike. Thank you.
See ya.
All right, listen to Pomp and Joe today, Wednesday, to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week, Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest runs through noon Friday at 93.7thefan.com. Tomorrow's schedule, Pomp 10 to noon. Joe and I in Buffalo, noon to 4. Then Joe at around 6 o'clock going through a table. And Mulzi on the air with PMT game night from 4 to 6. It's a pretty jam-packed day. All right. Coming up next, before we head off and let the leadoff show come in here with Paul Alexander for Buccos and Padres, NFL.com. The Steelers will trade three players before roster cutdown day. They believe this. And we'll tell you who those guys are when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire soon? Let Secure Money Advisors get retirement on track. Going to be in the low 70s tomorrow night in Buffalo for Drew Aller and Will Howard. But first, the message from Mulzi.
You know, low 70s, pretty nice weather. Mid to high 50s, maybe low 60s, great sleeping weather. But really, how many days a year do we actually get that? It's usually muggy in the summer. It's usually bitter cold in the winter. And if your windows have not been replaced in a long time, they are probably letting in too much of that air you don't want, letting out a lot of the air you pay good money to pump through your house. Fix the problems. Fix the problems when it comes to an uncomfortable house. Fix the problems when it comes to energy bills that are way too high with my friends at Universal Windows Direct. Right now, they got a great offer for you. It's buy four windows and you get four windows free. Plus, to make this even better, you get 48 months of 0% interest financing, same as cash. Universal has their Unishield windows. They stand behind them with a lifetime warranty. They are custom built for your home. They help reduce the air leaks, improve your energy efficiency, and most of all, make your home more comfortable 12 months out of the year, 365 days. Their team is also incredibly professional. They make the process so easy from start to finish. Schedule your free estimate today, 412-545-6003, or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
First game, it was solid, I would say.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Second game needs a lot of improvement. Just me being back on the right side, I just got to get back to the feel of things, you know, getting the repetition over there, because all offseason I really was working on left. We got to do what we can for our team, so I just got to be prepared to play right. I feel fine, honestly. A little gimpy here and there, but for the most part, you know, like my neck's holding up fine. My legs feel great, so, you know, that's all I really need to be able to play this game.
That's the guy that at one time, Chris Mueller, said this will be the greatest offensive tackle in Steelers history. Move over John Kolb. Here comes big, bad Broderick Jones from Georgia. Now,
yeah. I'd like to, regarding a post and a song I sang about that, I'd like to formally strike it from the record.
Now he's getting beat like a Neil Peart drum by a fifth string edge rusher in the second half of the second preseason.
Who might
game.
Well be playing something other than football very soon.
Yes. So that's what he's trying to bounce back from, which makes this story on the NFL's website rather interesting. Three Steelers players are going to get traded before the start of the season, according to NFL.com. Here are the guys they named. Malik Harrison, Caleb Johnson, and Broderick Jones. Landon Roberts took Harrison's job. Caleb Johnson lost his job when he forgot a rule last season in the home opener against the Seahawks, the Super Bowl champion Seahawks.
Game that prompted you to make a healthy bet on them to win.
60-1, thank you very much. And Johnson never got back into Mike Tomlin's good graces, and it sounds like he quickly wasted and ruined his clean slate with Mike McCarthy.
Oh, let's be honest about something. Did he ever have a clean slate with McCarthy? They watched tape of him not know the rule on a kickoff. You really think they came in here and wiped the board clean? Come on.
And then Broderick Jones. Broderick Jones is the third guy here. And somebody made it, multiple people have actually made this point to me about Broderick Jones. And it's a fair one. And the argument is this. If the Steelers could find a team in a trade for Kendrick Green, why can't they find a team for Broderick Jones? Which is not at all to say that they're going to get a lot for Broderick Jones. They're not, even though he's a former first-round pick and he's in the last year of his contract. But the point is, there's usually a team out there that thinks, here is a talented offensive tackle. It is, after quarterback, the most important offensive position on the field. Maybe we can get this guy and we can fix him. The Eagles have done that for a long time with guys. Mekhi Becton, they turned into a good offensive lineman.
A team could take his raw skill set, like basic athletic ability, and do him a huge favor. I'm not guaranteeing that they would turn him into a good player by just saying, you are either a right or a left tackle. That's what we're going to drill you as. And it's going to be tough because they probably would want him as a swing guy. But a team could just say, you're either going to play right tackle or you're going to play left tackle, and that's going to be that.
Yeah.
And then try to do that.
I do think a team would take him.
If a team would take Kendrick Green, a team would take him because tackle's more valuable than guard. And for as bad as Broderick Jones has been, he is light years better than Kendrick Green was here.
I mean, it's all time selling low, but then again,
they've drafted such that they've told you what their plans are for the position, and they don't
involve
Broderick Jones. So,
man, I'll tell you, I know that, you know, I'm going to be at this game and it's going to be hard to concentrate with Starkey, you know, asking.
Will you be multitasking and watching a different game on your phone?
No. Starkey, like, will be asking the person behind him if he likes Turkish hens, and he'll be calling the guy sitting in front of him, Dr. Kornfetter, the entire game, and just normal Starkey things, which can be a little bit distracting. And so you're at a game, like, it's hard to even hone in on individuals when you're there because of all of the chaos and everything else around you. But, I mean, the hype for Max Ihonatiore is nuts right now. The Steelers analysts who are at practice, who have watched him, Merrill Hodge said that he was like the most dominant player in training camp.
Till he got hurt, he was stoning people in pass rush drills.
So, I want to see if that translates to this game at all. And, I mean, seriously, if it does, Dylan Cook is just, he's a body. He was a practice squad guy for you for a long time. You had no visions of him as a starting tackle and bedrock offensive lineman.
He was one of those nice stories that crops up in any NFL season. Yeah. Of a guy performing more than what the team thought he was capable of.
So if Ihonatiore, I think, acquits himself well, again, especially if you can get him in this game early, get him out there against the Bills starters. If he does well and he's showing you in practice that he can block T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig, then start his ass in week one.
I don't think they would do that, though.
But they should.
No, I'm not falling into the trap of they know more than we do, see him every day. I would rather them just drop the guy in and figure it out, tell him figure it out. But I just think that this regime will be pretty conservative because they'll say he missed how many weeks? 2 weeks of practice, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And only played in one preseason game. And even if he looks like an ass kicker against the best the Bills are throwing out there tomorrow night, whatever that might be, I'm just going to say, nah, it's not quite time yet. I'm still, if he looks really good tomorrow, my prediction would be he starts coming off of the mini bye week after the Cleveland game. So what would that be? Week five, I guess. Work him in there.
But what if now that, Myles Garrett is gone, the offensive line actually plays well in Cleveland and Cook doesn't give up any sacks, they still bench him?
Well, yeah,
because they want a first-round pick to play?
Well, if he looks good in practice, you could just say, yeah, and he's a first-round pick. Sorry, Dylan Cook, that's sort of part of the deal you sign up for here. He'd have to look like Lane Johnson
but
for
if
me
you're,
to reconsider.
But if you're winning and he's not a problem, I would look at that as a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing, which is why I would just go with Ihonatiore from the very beginning.
I would too. Again, I'm telling you what I think they will do.
And usually I would say to you, we've looked at the way they've done things under Tomlin for such a long time. Your hypothesis on how they're going to do things is probably right because we have years of experience, but this is different, so we don't know.
It's a new O-line coach that Aaron Rodgers called one of the literal greatest humans he's ever encountered on this
planet. Oh, what a great human.
Just incredible.
And by the way, shout out another great human. Kabali was waxing poetic and said, Calvin Austin, a horrible injury in New York, out for the year, torn ACL, which stinks. But then Mark could not wait to tell everybody, what a great human. This stinks that it would happen to anybody.
Was he cosplaying as Yoey?
But it is even worse when it happens to
a great,
great human.
Who says it more, Kabali or Yoey?
I don't know. A great human. Don't you hate it when things like that happen to great humans? Why couldn't that happen to a horrible human who plays football?
I mean, Deshaun Watson is up the road in Cleveland and tore a couple Achilles. So.
Right.
By the way, I went on there with Ken this morning. This will send you on a warpath.
Don't do this, please.
No?
I've already got a brace for 7 hours in the car tomorrow and everything that comes with that.
You just don't want to rant and rave about what he insisted was the truth to me?
Because He's a propagandist. He's cut right from that propagandist cloth.
How much money would there have to be? Triple what you're making now for you to put on the propagandist hat? Could you ever do it? Is it in your DNA?
No, because I'm not built for that.
You're built different. You're built to be an honest broker, a truth teller to the core.
Now here are three names of players the Steelers could trade for.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay?
Yes.
So I just gave you the three names they could trade. Donnie, do you disagree with the three names NFL Network says these guys are getting traded? Harrison, Johnson, Jones? Does that seem
I think they should all be on the table.
Yeah.
Jones, right. I still think, could get like a, not a great return, but like better than people might think because he's an athletic tackle.
What is better than people might think?
What did Green get, a fifth?
But I think they had to throw in a pick too.
I think
it was like they got a fifth, but they had to throw in a sixth and Green.
I think they could get a fifth for Jones.
Really?
I think he's a better football player than Green.
So do I.
Like, I think when you look at Kendrick Green, who did play better at first for Houston and then kind of found its level, just quickly here, I think Jones has the athletic profile where a team might spend a fifth on him and say, we're getting a steal.
Okay.
That's it. I'm not making a huge like defense of the guy here. I'm done with that.
The Steelers' official write-up is that it was just Green for a pick in round six.
Okay, so just a sixth right up. All right, so you're saying based on that, you think they can get a fifth. That's fair. All right, here are three guys Steelers could trade for. They're all wide receivers. Tutu Atwell. Christian Kirk. Mecole Hardman. Do any of those names tickle your fancy and do anything for you?
Kirk, maybe.
I mean, Kirk friggin' turned into Jerry Rice against him in the playoff game. That's his best game in 3 or 4 years.
How big is
that? The Jaguars
Atwell, about
gave
five,
him all that
seven?
Money, and that was the best game he played, and it was with Houston, ironically. Yeah, Atwell's a big play guy.
I know, but are they going to, like, they just had that in
Calvin
Austin.
Are they
going to
take the cover off the defense with Aaron Rodgers this year?
Well, don't you look at Kirk and say, of those three players, he's probably the one that Rodgers would trust the most?
Oh, absolutely.
As a veteran.
Of course.
And so you have to at least like swim in the pool that's in front of you here, and you have to consider if you're going to trade for a guy, does our quarterback like him? Does our quarterback think he's worth a crap?
Kirk's numbers last year were so bad.
Well, it's really the last.
It was just the Steelers' playoff game, really. He had 28 catches for 239 last year. He put up Roman Wilson numbers.
I mean, the year before that, he was only in 8 games, but it wasn't like the numbers were still overwhelming. They were more in line with like his career to that point.
29 years old.
They had tailed off already.
So now what, you're second guessing yourself?
No,
what you said?
Of those three, he'd be the only one I'd be interested in.
2-2 Atwell does nothing for you, huh?
Not really. I just don't trust the Steelers right now. I don't trust Rodgers to be like, yeah, I want a gadget player that does not do anything other than run gadget plays.
Kirk versus the Steelers in the playoffs. 9 targets, 8 catches, 144, and a touchdown. He had half of his regular season production in the playoff game against the Steelers. I forget. Did you pick the Steelers to win that game? Did you start drinking the Kool-Aid?
No, I did not.
You did?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it's easy to say that now.
I think
but you were so down. Like, you were right there with us. You were saying for weeks after the Browns game, especially, I'm not going to get fooled again by these guys.
You were like the who.
Yeah, you were right there with us. You said, I got to see him win a playoff game before I predict him to win one.
Donnie's a football guy, and football guys always believe on some level, and I think that belief overtook him. I think it was because, Donnie, wasn't it basically?
Did you get caught up in the hoopla being down there?
It was how bad Stroud looked, and you thought, like, it could be a rock fight, and they actually can win rock fights.
Yeah, but we didn't know Stroud was going to be that bad before
the game.
I mean, he
was awful. I mean, I think it's fair to argue for as bad as Rodgers was, he wasn't even the worst quarterback in the game.
You're right about that, but I was not clairvoyant enough to think that they were going to win the game because C.J. Stroud was going to be that bad.
It didn't end up being this way. I thought it would be the one playoff game they had played in recent years where I could see a way that they could win the game. And it ended up for three quarters like it was the most lopsided 7-6 game in history, but they still were just one random-ass play
away. And that's
away.
The type of game like, oh, they're right. Hanging around. They'll exactly. Find some way. So, I mean, yeah, it's easy to look back given how the fourth quarter went, like, oh, I'm the biggest idiot ever.
Oh, but I never called you the biggest idiot. I just...
Well, you're like stunned that one of us...
Well, I'm stunned because I remember, because we didn't do that show with you because you had to do pregame. I just remember how certain you were that this season was going to have the same ending as most of the seasons that had come before it.
A lot of the time the train goes to the same exact destination.
Has there been a playoff game in this recent run of years you thought they'd win? You didn't say they'd beat the Chiefs, did you, the one year?
No, I said
they'd cover.
I said it would be closer than the experts think in narrator's voice. It was not closer than the experts
thought. How much money did Nick Wright offer you off the air on a bet as far as Steelers
I made a bet with him and lost.
Don't.
Yeah. I made a sizable bet with him and lost.
Were you gloating when T.J. Watt scooped and scored to put him up 7-0?
Oh, absolutely.
And then the Chiefs scored 5 touchdowns in a faster stretch of game time than any team has in playoff history.
I have not picked them to win a playoff game since the Browns 2020 debacle, and I thought that team was going to get hot in the playoffs, and they were going to get all the way to the Super Bowl against Tampa was my prediction. It was the Steelers-Bucks Super Bowl. Ben versus Brady
you
for
and
all
I,
the marbles.
You and I were working in different locations at that point because of COVID. If I could have looked you in the eye, I would have told you what an awful idea that was. That team was dying in real time.
But then they had showed life against the Colts in that great
comeback.
For 30
minutes.
I know that, but it was a magical 30 minutes, and Ben turned back the clock.
Donnie, he should feel worse about that than you should about last year's Houston game.
And I thought, oh, don't act like you two guys didn't think they were going to beat the Browns in that playoff game. The Browns didn't have a coach.
I said they were going to lose the game.
They had a special teams coordinator.
I wasn't with you guys then, but yeah, the Steelers should have absolutely won that game.
I'm almost positive I called a
loss. Their coach is now Pitt's special teams coach for that game.
How many minutes behind, or was it seconds? Stefanski was like a full minute plus behind the game in his basement.
Yeah,
his family was like cheering for an interception, and he didn't even know it happened.
Remember when they punted back to the Browns, and then Nick Chubb just ran all over them, and Nick Chubb caught passes?
But like Mike Florio said, that doesn't matter, because as soon as this season's over, Mike Tomlin is going to be the belle of the ball.
Seriously.
And everyone's going to be lining up to hire him.
Who the F would he hire as his OC? We know he'll run the defense, and that'll
Mike Locksley. I don't know.
Maryland.
Randy Feuchner.
Can you imagine?
He'll get Lamar Jackson, and he'll bring in Randy Feuchner.
Can you imagine him putting the clamps on Lamar? He won't even have an OC. He'll say, Lamar, I just don't want you to throw the ball to the middle of the field. Meanwhile, Lamar is like one of the best middle-of-the-field throwers in the league since he came in. You want to talk about two great tastes that don't taste very good together?
Two Rams at the top of a mountain right there.
Oh, my God, dude. The movable object versus the resistible.
All right.
I guess the irresistible.
Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/9. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.